Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hi, you're welcome back. So we're looking ahead to the US Open at Shinnecock Hills. We'll be joined in a moment by Lawrence Donegan. Here is Rory McIlroy, just one of those talking about the challenge posed by Shinnecock. A place, actually, it turns out he's been going to for the last number of years. He first played there with Bill Clinton back in 2013, and it's a place he knows very well. He's talking about his strategy.
Yeah, it was nice to play it today in a southwest wind, which is the prevailing wind here. We haven't really had that the last few days. It's been sort of more out of the north. So to play it in a southwest wind, it plays differently. The course has started to firm up a little bit, which is great. And I think with this wind, it gives you a few more options off tees. You don't necessarily have to hit driver so much anymore. And it was just good to see it like this today.
You were telling me you've been coming here for the past five summers. What do you learn each and every year, even though it might not be major championship ready, but perhaps nuances that you can apply this week?
Yeah, I mean, this place is quite similar to Augusta, that every time you play it, you notice something different, you know, a little runoff here, you know, a place maybe not to miss it there. I think the more you play it, the more, you know, familiar you are with it. And I think the great thing about this golf course, you're going to see guys playing it different ways. Some guys are going to be conservative. Some guys are going to be more aggressive. But it lets you, it gives you options, which I think is great.
What's your strategy heading into the first round?
It's a U.S. Open. I don't feel like you have to be super aggressive. I think if anyone shoots something around 470s for the week, they won't be far away. Fairways and greens, leave it in the right spots. Don't short side yourself. Just leave it on the right sides of these pins. And if you can sort of do that and make your life as stress-free as possible, I think you'll do okay.
So there's Rory talking strategy ahead of the start on Thursday. General favourites in the betting, Dustin Johnson, fresh off his win, obviously, last week, and a return to world number one, and somebody who has a fairly excellent record at the US Open is the favourite. McIlroy's thereabouts. Justin Thomas as well, who Johnson replaced as world number one. Jason Day is in the mix around 14s. Justin Rose as well, highly fancied. He's got his putting sorted out of late. John Rahm is there. Ricky Fowler is there. Jordan Spieth is around 18s. Brooks Koepka, defending champion, around 18s, as is Tiger Woods at 18. So that is generally the lay of the land in terms of how the bookies see things. Lawrence Donegan is on the line, a golf journalist, obviously, and now proud owner, editor, general, everything to McKellar, the new Golf Quarterly, Lawrence?
It's me, proud publisher.
Publisher.
I can't believe it, Joe. I never thought the day would come.
Excellent.
Of course, it comes with all the problems as well.
Paying
pesky journalists and putting up with their egos. Tough.
To write stories. Well, I know you've sent a copy, which I'm looking forward to getting stuck into over the next while. So let's talk about McKellar and how it goes for you over the next while. It's kind of novel to see a new print venture in golf journalism. It's a rare thing. So we might dig into that on a quieter week, but this is a busy week. So we're back at Shinnecock. This held the second ever US Open. It's like one of the five founding clubs of the USGA.
Yeah.
We're going back to 2004 for the last one when Retief Goosen won it. And frankly, Phil Mickelson and others, Tiger Woods as well, thought that, not for the first or last time, the USGA made a complete mess of the whole thing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of it kicking around in the airwaves this week and in print. It's quite astonishing that the USGA ran such a shambolic tournament. I mean, if you think about it, on the final afternoon, guys in different groups were playing the golf course in a different condition. I mean, famously, they were watering the seventh green in the middle of the rounds for some groups and not for other groups because the ball wouldn't stick on the green. I didn't realize until Mickelson brought it up, because Mickelson was completely shafted at the time. Brought it up. They made the decision on whether to water a green depending on whether the guy, anybody in the group in front of you, had double or triple bogeyed the hole. So if nobody in the group in front of you, the two ball in front of you, had triple bogeyed or double bogeyed the hole, you didn't get the green watered. You had to play this green, which was essentially playing like a runway at Dublin Airport.
Yeah,
utterly shambolic.
I didn't realise that was the logic they were using. I knew they were watering it for some groups and not for others. And I think Phil walked off being screwed and saw them then watering the green and thought, oh my God, what's happening here? I saw, you know, often the caddies, as you know, are a good guide to what the lay of the land is. So it seems, well, I get, you know, US Open traditionally is kind of single file fairway and rough that's going to break your heart. I saw Ted Scott, Bubba Watson's long-suffering caddy, saying, today was my first walk ever around Shinnecock Hills. I will say this with confidence. Long hitters will have the advantage and one of them will hoist the trophy. It seems the fairways are more generous than in 2004 for starters. So we're looking at a long hitter.
You know what, I saw that as well, and I think he completely missed it. It's amazing guys so intimately involved in golf completely misunderstand golf courses. I thought Rory nailed it exactly. The whole thing about Shinnecock, it's an amazing golf course, by the way, absolutely incredible. Easily the best I've played in America, probably the best in America. Rory nailed it. You can play it one or two ways. You can take your chances as, you know, the Ted Scott way. You can bomb it down there and you can hope to gouge it out and take your chances from there. Or you can, you know, take the route that Rory is suggesting, you know, play it strategically. And the fairways are wider, but not massively wider. It's not like Erin Hills last year. So there is options. That's the thing. And, you know, if you're suggesting, or if anybody's suggesting that the bombing gouges are, you know, you just hammer it down there, it doesn't matter where it goes, you just wedge it onto the greens. I mean, it kind of misunderstands the greens. And the greens, the actual acreage of the greens is big, but the greens themselves actually play tiny.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of these greens. If you look at 18, there's a great, I suggest, Phil Kenyon, who's one of the great putting coaches of the world, has got put something up on his Instagram feed today, swash putting. Basically, he's shaded the 18th green where it's possible on the 18th green to put a flag, which is to say, in any part of the green where the slope is less than 6%.
Right.
And the green, the actual green size is about 1/8 of the size of the green, if you see what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I've seen a few players who played it back in 2004 who are now retired and pundits, and they talked about there are certain greens where, you know, look, this is a par 70 and it's quite a long course, but you will hit onto a green and if you don't land it in the right spot, that ball will roll all the way back to you.
Well, again, that's the other thing as well. So if you're hitting it out of the rough, if you're just, you know, gouging it out of the rough, the runoffs are enormous. Mm. And really, there's a lot of false fronts, you know, a lot of tricky edges, a lot of the pins are going to be around the edges because that's where the pin positions are. You know, if you're gouging out, you're not stopping that ball. You know, it's running off the green. So I disagree. I might be proved wrong, but I disagree with Ted Scott. I think this golf course, as I say, the fairways are wider than they were in, I think the average width of the fairway in 2004 was 26 yards. So, I mean, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, this time, we're probably looking at somewhere between, you know, some of them are that width and some of them are 50 yards. Mm. So that extra width brings in options. And I think this is a golf course and this is a tournament that's going to be won. Who's going to be won by a guy who really thinks his way around a golf course.
Which is a good thing. And we'll get into some of the players now, but the US Open has, or certainly had, that identity. The toughest test in golf, single file fairways, horrific rough. Like it will wear you down. And we've just seen the USGA, I don't know, lose their way a bit at times. Like the Chambers Bay thing was a bit mad. And then last year it was wide open. It was too open. I don't think people enjoyed last year's tournament overly.
No.
Like, are we seeing a return to, I guess, what a traditional US Open should be at Shinnecock, and they won't make a mess of this one? Are we fairly confident?
Well, they made a mess of it at Shinnecock.
Well, that's a good point.
But I think you're right. I mean, it's a fantastic golf course.
Yeah.
And you're dead right as well. The USGA has completely lost its way with this tournament. There's a real identity crisis over the last. And I think it kind of dates back to that Shinnecock experience, because Shinnecock was the nadir, if you like, of that toughest test in golf mentality.
Mm.
I mean, it was 2007 at Oakmont was another one, which is another magnificent golf course, completely ruined by the setup, which, you know, took most of the skill out of it. It was just a kind of, you know, bomb and gouge, hack it out, take your chances kind of golf course. So since then, there has been the USGA has been grappling with this whole identity. And I think this time, A, they've got a great golf course, and B, they appear to have got it set up absolutely perfectly to land in the middle of the two extremes.
Right.
You know, the narrow fairway extreme or the Erin Hills at the other end of the extreme. Again, who knows? I mean, the USDA have always usually finds a way of mucking something up between, you know, Thursday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But there's enough grass around. The course isn't going to bake out. I mean, the forecast is good, except for tomorrow. The course isn't going to bake out and get to the extreme of 2004. Mm. There's enough water around. There's enough grass around. So I think that this could be a real classic, really good US Open that finally lands in a perfect spot.
Okay, fantastic. So, well, we started on Rory. Let's dig into him for a second. This is now his 37th career major, his 10th US Open. Interestingly, he was also saying that go drop a ball in the rough and see what happens when he was asked about the fairway width. He said, if you miss them, you've got no chance. So he's definitely cognizant of that. He's 56 in strokes gained putting. I think he's due to play, or certainly did just play around with Brad Faxon, who he's been working on with his putting a while ago. That is obviously an area of concern when it comes to Rory, and things were looking really good at the Masters until about the second hole on Sunday. His wedge play has also been questioned. His general record this season, he's won once at the Arnold Palmer. He's at 6 top tens. We expect so much of him. How are you feeling about Rory?
Actually, listening to him there, I hadn't heard that interview. I think it was with the Golf Channel, wasn't it? More optimistic than I really was. He seems to get the golf course. If you look at the golf courses, I don't want to bore everybody going through his major victories, but say a golf course like Hoylake, Royal Liverpool, where he won. This golf course reminds me, it's better than Royal Liverpool, but this is more like a kind of Muirfield kind of golf course.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two holes in the entire golf course at Shinnecock that go in the same direction. You know, so you go to a golf course, the genius of a golf course like Muirfield and of Shinnecock Hills is that, you know, all the holes are playing different directions, so different winds. It's a real kind of thinker's golf course. It's a shot maker's golf course. You don't have to just hit the middle of the green. You've actually got to hit the right slope, with the right shot shape, so the ball will hold the greens. And Rory does that really, really well.
Mm.
He's always been a good pitcher and chipper. It comes down to putting, 56 strokes again putting, and that's pretty good for him.
Yeah.
So if he's got his head right, he's got the game for it, and if he puts decently, I think he's got a pretty good chance.
Dustin Johnson's scary right now, and his US Open record's scary.
It is. I come back to the thing, it's a thinking player's golf course. I mean, there is a chance, as Ted Scott said, that a player like Dustin Johnson could just simply overpower this place.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. So it comes down to can he think his way around this place? Perhaps. The other thing is, you're going to need a great caddy. And I don't think Dustin Johnson's got that. He's got his brother. He's always going to be in contention, isn't it? Because he's such a talented player.
Mm.
But I don't think. I think could come up short.
Tiger Woods is staying in his yacht in Sag
As
Harbor.
You do.
Yeah. So he's 14 miles just northeast of Shinnecock, and apparently there's a few poor schmucks who are taking 2.5 to 3 hours just to get to the place. It seems like traffic is an issue. But Tiger's in his yacht, which I think will appeal to his personality. It's 10 years since 08 now, which is kind of the mad thing. He's hitting the ball incredibly well. He hasn't putted so well in recent weeks. I mean, he did talk, though, about these type of greens as being the ones he grew up on. It's Poana or Poa type grass. So he says it gets bumpy, he quite likes it, takes a lot of patience, and he is used to it. You know, he feels he's grown up on this kind of stuff. But his tee to green game is really, really good at the moment. I wanted to ask you, Brandel Chamblee did a piece where he reckoned he's looked at Woods' driving, and he said, whenever there's danger down the left, I mean, this is real Brandel Chamblee kind of inside baseball stuff. Whenever there's danger down the left, Woods seems to get very fast and make an absolute mess of his driving. But if there's no danger, he hits a beautiful dead straight drive. So there's kind of a psychological element to this thing as ever. Can his tee to green game hold up under US Open major pressure? And then how do we feel about the putting are the questions for Tiger?
Well, if you go look at his putting, this whole, the kind of stressing it about his putting all stems from the Memorial Tournament, where it was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
If you look at his putting earlier in the season, it was actually pretty good. Again, I don't wonder what people expected from Tiger this year. He's been out for a long time. He's just had pretty serious back surgery. I think his performance this year has been really, really good. And I think he's kind of been a victim of everybody's expectations for him. But if you kind of stand back and look at, I don't know where he is in the FedEx Cup standings or whatever, but I think he's probably in the top 50. He's done pretty well. It's just a case of what I think in this for this week is, as I say, nobody thinks his way around a golf course like Tiger Woods. Just nobody. So that'll play into his hands. He just got to keep it, pretty straight off the tee. And just get back to how he was putting earlier in the year. Again, somebody that, I'm not saying he could win, but I think he could do pretty well as well. I mean, I can't remember if he played here in 95. I think people need to, I think next year will be Tiger's year. If Tiger's going to do anything, I think because he'll be game ready next year, he'll have a lot of tournament hours in him. But yeah, I don't think he'll win. But yeah, again, somebody that could contend or could at least scare the leaderboard at that late on Saturday afternoon, maybe not Sunday afternoon, but Saturday afternoon.
And par 70, I think 7,050 odd yards. Is it too long for him to stinger his way around a la Roy Liverpool?
Well, that's one of the problems, isn't it, Joe? What's happened to the stinger? You occasionally see it on the PGA Tour where he hits. They have that top tracer thing on,
or whatever
they call it, and it's fantastic, But he just seems to, it used to be his go-to shot. He would just kind of tee up low and just smash it down, right down the middle, or, hit one of these little power fades. But he seems to have, I don't know if it's a confidence thing, and maybe he feels he can't do it under pressure. But, that would be an ideal shot for it. I mean, I think, some of the carriage is going to have to use driver. The golf course doesn't allow you to play without using a driver, but if you could use the stinger a bit more often, you would think that would help his chances here. As I say, maybe Nicholas, who knows, but nobody thinks the way around a golf course like Tiger. It's a real, he kind of sees it as a chess game, almost like a kind of mental conundrum. And this golf course is perfect for him.
I want to ask you finally then about, for me, the most interesting player in golf, even more so than Rory, when I'm watching him on the course at this stage, is Jordan Spieth. And I know you're a Rory man, but Spieth has missed four of his 15 cuts in four of 15 events this year. He's missed four cuts. And then still at the Masters, kind of pops up and somehow rediscovers some magic. And you think this guy is just a freak of nature. He is 190th, 190. In strokes gained putting this season. I never, ever, ever thought I would be talking about Jordan Spieth outside the top 10. This is just unbelievable what's happened to this guy's putting.
Isn't that just insane? Again, they were talking about it on the Golf Channel this morning, all the kind of past major champions, and I think he was on the putting green at the time and he had about five devices going, tees and lines and all sorts of stuff. And they were suggesting maybe you should just go and play.
Yeah.
Don't bother putting. He was always a pretty natural stroke. He was always a really quick putter. He'd take his time sort of reading the putt, but once he got over the ball, he just putted it, Against that old line, paralysis by analysis. I don't know, maybe he's got a touch of the Rory's. But he's a really natural putter. You've got to think he's going to, the first couple of years of his pro career, it was just insane. I mean, he held everything he looked at. And now he can't hold anything he looks at. He's missing an extraordinary number of short putts. You have to think that he's going to come back to the mean at some point, don't you? Which is to say, top 20, top 30 putter in the world. Maybe this is the week. Again, I keep on saying this. He's a great, strategist.
Yeah.
He's a great thinker. I mean, this golf course, he's long enough to play this golf course, not to be at disadvantage to the extremely long hitters. It's just a question of putting. Can he get back? As you say, he did it at the Masters.
But yeah.
Can he get back to something like that this week? Poana greens. I mean, he's a Texas kid. Those greens. I don't know if you've ever putted down in Texas, Joe, but those greens are. I mean, it's like linoleum or whatever they call it, marble. They're wonderful. Poa, especially in the afternoons, as Tiger said, is a bit bumpy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll suit Spieth.
Yeah.
But if he can get back to anything like he puts normally, then again, another one that you think would have a chance.
Because Chambers Bay was some of the worst greens you've ever seen, and he won there, he could do anything. So it's just a mystery. Very last one then, obviously Phil's lurking around looking for a career Grand Slam. That'd be the real fairy tale story. Is there any bolter that you have your eye on in particular, or is this thing wide open as ever lately?
I really think Justin Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of brilliance dressed in ordinary clothing, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't exactly set the pulse racing, but I think he's ranked 3 in the world,
yeah.
Won unbelievably well at Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago. I think he was tied 8th at Memorial. He's just in great form, great player, not a lot of attention, not a lot of pressure. Has won on one of the great US Open golf courses at Marion.
Yeah.
This suits him. He's long enough, putts decently, chips great. Great ball striker. I really fancy him.
Okay, he's ticking all the boxes. Pleasure. Thanks so much. And let's talk about the new venture very soon.
No bother, Joe. All the best.
Thanks. That's Lawrence Dunning there with his pre-US Open thoughts. Short break. Football show, including Graeme Hunter from a slightly shell-shocked Spanish camp because their manager, they had thought would they were going to have for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, is set to become the Real Madrid manager.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.